पहले फिर ये एनसीबी तो रेडी
रेडी
रिकॉर्डिंग हाँ बोल
यस
बोल
यस
ओके ओके
यस हाँ बोल दी
तो वेलकम जफर भाई
थैंक यू
प्लेजर टू मीट यू अगेन
थैंक यू
आफ्टर वेरी वेरी
लॉन्ग टाइम या
एंड सो वी आर क्रिएटिंग दिस रिकॉर्डिंग ऑन द audio visual technology changes in India
okay.
for the National Center of Biological Sciences in Bangalore. They are setting up an archives of science and technology in India.
Okay.
So as part of that archive, we are collecting this information about transition from analog to digital in audio visual technology.
Okay.
So this interview will be used for research and educational purposes. I hope you have no objection to us.
No objection.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a sarkari interview, so it is important to have this formal. So let us continue. So you were saying that you joined this in
1990. February 1990, I completed my diploma 3 years in electronics and communication. And then I joined this university, this institution, mass communication. I had no prior experience of this type of studio based equipment and all. I had my interest since I was in class 8th in the electronics, but no broadcast type of experience I had. When I joined first, I saw the huge equipment which was installed in 1982 with the cooperation of York University, Canada. This institute was set up in the 82 with the vision of then Vice Chancellor Professor Anwar Jamal Kadwai, who started this institute. And he visualized at that time the need of this institution in the coming years. And at that time, nobody knows what is mass communication. No idea. So in the first batch, many newsreaders of Doordarshan got the admission and they trained here. And that time the cameras with box lenses were not in the Doordarshan. And later on, Doordarshan purchased all these equipment. And in continuation to this, CEC, the Consortium for Education Communication, which is now looking after all the media centers in India, was born in mass communication. Was born in mass communication, and they did all capsuling, all recordings, all scripting in mass communication only, in our studios, in our editing labs. That time we have U-matic low band setup.
This was around which time? This is but
in 82 the whole setup was U-matic low band, okay. And most of the equipment of Sony make, microphones, mixers, video recorders, cameras, okay. Then later on in 1990-91 cooperation project in which Japan government gave a aid of almost 27 crores for the upgradation of mass communication infrastructure. So that time we shifted from low band U-matic directly to the Betacam SP, no high band, nothing and all, okay? Directly on Betacam SP. That was a big transition in terms of technology, in terms of quality of the product and the working environment. Because in low band, the quality was not very good. If we have little lighting issue, we get the green cast or blue cast many times. not much change in the audio, because the fundamental issue of audio is our audio is always analog signal. Then the processing is also analog in that period, and then the reproduction is also analog through these speakers, because no system in this universe is digital. Every system in this world God made is analog. We saw things that is completely analog signal. We speak, our audio is analog. We listen through the ears, that is also analog, no digital, nothing. And in audio, we not need much higher processing, so no delay, nothing. But at the same time, in the case of video, excessive processing is involved. In the analog period, the time is consumed more as compared to in digital, and with limitations, so many limitations. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. Okay, suppose if you edit a film and you feel something is wrong in that, so you have to redraw the entire film again, because in many cases there is a control signal is also there. In Betacam there is the time code, but in the U-matic there was CTL, control track. Okay, so in insert we had very limited options. Okay, but assemble you have all options. So if you suppose you made a copy and you need to make some changes in that, so you must do again, and it will take again the same time. Okay, we had that time, we had also film editing, we had Steinbeck 6-plate and 4-plate editing tables. We have Aflex, Bolex and CP16 cameras, film cameras for 16 mm. So the same way film, you have to, for editing you have to play 3 reels simultaneously, and you make cuts points and splice them again the tape, and then you prepare the copy, and that copy sent to the lab for the making the positive of that. That is a tedious job, you cannot do it here itself. And for that thing you need audio, to record audio separately. And for audio we had Naga 4.2 recorder, which was very costly and not available easily in the market. That time we had 4 Nagas for the students' exercise and teaching purposes.
So if yeah. I just before you you're saying at in 1990-91 when aap join kiye yahan pe, there was film division, film unit, yes, and video unit
and so audio visual also,
and audio visual means slide shows and that kind of thing, using, yes, still, yes, photographs,
yes, still photography.
Okay,
with audio thinking.
So when the question I'm trying to ask is, when students came here, they got introduced to all three things, and
all three things.
So as people who were maintaining the machines, did you see, you may have noticed differences in the way students used to handle,
yes,
the,
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Because just usage of the three.
I will come on this. There is a big difference. The mentality of the student is entirely different with the mentality of the professionals, and that plays a major role. And if you remember, when we are students, we had different mindset. Once we are in the job, mindset change accordingly, and students use roughly equipment very rough. So the wear and tear, the other problems, troubleshooting is more as compared to the professionals. So during that period, the crew members of the students, suppose students are going for the outdoor shooting, so there are students one technical person, one lighting assistant with them, who will take care of the lights, to give the power supply, to help the students in doing the lighting. And the technical person is responsible for the safety and troubleshooting during the shoot in the students. So, we had portable recorders, VO4800, U-Matic portable recorders, ITC730 and Ikigami cameras. Okay. So, many times we face so many problems with the students, because they are not well versed with the operations, practical operations. So, they did many mistakes. One time I remember one student put it on the negative testing image switch on the camera, and he was seeing the image as a negative image in the viewfinder, and he was very upset, ke sir, my entire shoot will be damaged, and how we can recover this and all. Then I told him, no way, this is the viewfinder only, the recording is perfectly all right. This is for the measurement and testing purpose, maintenance purpose. You put this switch by mistake. So, this type of things and all. Many times we have to teach the student how to take the audio, which microphone is good for you for this purpose, because they are not very well versed. Suppose they are in the outdoor and there is a wind coming. They have no idea how to place the mic. Most of the time they place the mic and mic is against the air. So, we told them, no, this is not the correct way. You have to do in the direction of the wind. So, minimum noise level will hit, you will get, because the wind cannot hit the diaphragm of the microphone directly. Sometimes we use umbrella before the microphone. Umbrella stop the air. So, noise is less. There are many things, most of the things we explore during these shoots, and we learn a lot with the students, because every time we face some new problem, not as mentioned in the manuals. Okay. So, I am very, very thankful to the students also in one way, that I learned a lot on the outdoor shootings in that period. Because we had, center had limited staff, limited technicians who were on the shooting. The one, my counterpart is Mr. Nadeem, he is still in mass communication. He and me, both were the persons mostly engaged with the students' exercises in the outdoor shootings. In film shootings, no technician, only light person and one senior professor or camera person were with them to guide them. No technician was assigned with them. This is the major difference with this.
In the film shoots.
In video, there is a technician, one lighting assistant, compulsory with them. And it is our responsibility to teach the student during this entire shoot, that don't do this, this will damage the equipment, this will damage your shooting. So, you have to be careful. And if you know in the analog machines, the mechanical system is very cumbersome. If you talk about the tape transport mechanism, so guides are moving and locked, and then recording is started. Okay, and there is a video head and on the drum, and there is control track and audio head separately. There is a pinch holder. If anything happened in the speed of the tape, you will not able to get the proper recording of audio video. So, these are the small things. So, we many times guide the student, you have to put this recorder on your lap. You cannot put it on the floor directly. You have to take care of the microphone. Microphone cannot hit. You cannot put with the full fader the XLR cable, it will damage the microphone because the surge current will flow. So these are the small things which more inclined towards the technical aspect, and that helps us to avoid major incidents.
So one question coming to my mind, you said you have to keep the recorder on your lap.
Yes.
Now this I'm sure kisi manual mein nahi likha hai.
Never.
Right. So how did you arrive as a technician? How did you people arrive at this understanding?
Sometimes what happened when you switch on the recorder and try to put the tape, it shows a servo indicator, servo warning. So servo means servo is the term related with the tape transport mechanism, mechanical movement. So it's clearly understood that something is wrong with the mechanical part. So if we saw patiently, we saw okay, some guides are moved from their original position. So if you put the tape, the tape will not set on the proper thing, and guides will move and the tape will damage. So to prevent this thing, it shows servo warning and tape cannot go inside. Okay. So once we observe this thing, so we try to reach the root cause of this. Then we came to know, okay, if it's put on the floor, on the vehicle, so with the jerks, the guides will move slightly from their original position. But if it's in the horizontal position on your lap, so it will work as a shock absorber. So guides will not move. Okay. So that solves a lot of problems in the shooting. This is sometimes very important. Another major mistake I saw, the pin configuration of XLR cable, because XLR cable is a balanced type of cable. Okay. So balanced, unbalanced. So in balanced cable there are three pins. Okay. One live, one hot, another is shield. Okay. So the configuration for the video, this audio configuration is entirely different with the configuration for the microphones used or cables used in the film with the Naga. It's just suppose the live is changed with the shield. So if you put a wrong cable by mistake, you will get maximum noise, minimum signal. Okay. So we have to be careful. This cable is for the film shoot, this cable is for the video shoot. So you have to check before going on the shoot. Another thing, there was a red button on the U-matic professional tapes. That button is very important. If you forget that button, or you have not carried the button with you, you cannot shoot at all. So I heard this thing from my seniors, it's very important, this and that. Then I saw, what is the reason for this? Because I was also involved in the maintenance also. I love maintenance work. So I explore why this is so crucial, and it is so crucial, so why it is not fixed like in the audio cassette. Okay. Then it came to my knowledge that this is not fixed, because if it's put every time by mistake, you can press the assemble button and that can relay the entire your footage. Okay. So you lose your footage. So as a precautionary, that button is optional. You have to put, you can remove. For recording, you have to put. After recording, you have to remove the button and put the. It's like a lock. Nowadays, there is a lock in the SSD and all, because you cannot record further. That type of mechanism was done by this red switch, red button. Okay. So one day, students forget that button. I say okay, because I learned what is the purpose. I say, don't worry, we will fix it. How, sir? That time we were in Mehuli, quite far from mass communication. So if we return back and for this red button, that will hamper the shooting time. I say, okay, wait. I need some paper and little cellotape type thing. So what you will do? I will. I put paper on the hole and put the cellotape. So basic purpose is for the recording, one lever hit that thing. Okay, if it's there is no button, it's come inside. So recording will not start due to, with the sensor one. So I block that thing and they record it. So these are the small things. With the passage of time, people learn. And in the beginning, what happened? There was no formal training for the technical people, for studio, for shootings, for film and all. They were the people who were as a helper or a helping hand with the cameraman and all. They learned with the passage of time, because no university is teaching this thing, okay, how to operate the camera, how to maintain the video recorders. Okay, they are simple engineering graduates or diploma holders. They knew the theory, but no practical hands on. Okay. So that is the reason I started into little away from this topic. I started a course in mass communication in 2004. Operation and maintenance of broadcast equipment. Mm. That was the PG diploma course, and I designed that course only for the BSc, MSc physics and electronics and computer science students. So that course was very well acknowledged in the industry, because I prepared the students as a skilled workforce for the studios, for the FM channels, for film editing rooms and all, as per their requirement. So if I give hands-on practical, 75% practical, 25% theory to the student, so they knew how to handle the equipment. So no studio house is puzzled how to give this costly equipment in the hands of the student. They can damage, because if I remember correctly, one Betacam machine recorder, BW65 with dynamic tracking, that cost around 48 lakhs somewhere that time in 90. And the cost was without excise, without custom duty, which was exempted for us. And Japan government, to give boost to the Sony, they purchased 20% less than the cost of the factory. So in that period, in the analog period, there was a major significant difference. Was there is two groups. One is professional, another is user. And these equipments, editing tables, nothing can be afforded by a normal person. So big institutes or production houses only have the opportunity to grab this thing. So people depend on these studios, editing labs for their film editing and all. But with the advent of technology, and once the digital domain came into the picture, this gap is in the beginning it's minimized, then nowadays this gap is finished. Okay, you have a good camera, good mobile, you can record. You have a laptop, you can edit. Okay, so nowadays requirement of typical studios are very less. Okay, in the beginning you need a professional microphone that cost around 1 lakh, 2 lakh. Everybody cannot afford it, but now with a microphone of 2500 you will get a very good microphone with noise cancellation and all, and you can record at your home. Okay, so this device in one way is a better, it makes all individuals as a professional, but on the other way it's a very bad, because nowadays everybody thinks I can do camera, I do sound, I can edit, you know, but he is not well versed with the ethics, with the code of conduct. Okay, nowadays you can see many people are doing camera work, but they don't know what is 3-point lighting, what is 4-point lighting. They don't know 3-point lighting. Why 3-point lighting concept is more prevalent? Why? Because in 3-point lighting system, we follow sun as a source. Okay, so one main light that gives you shadow, another light will give you separation. For that light is called the backlight. Another light you need to reduce the intensity of the shadow, a fill light. All three lights have very major role. Okay, as I told you earlier also, in the analog system, cameras were not very sensitive. They were used tube cameras in the beginning, then CMOS cameras, okay, CCD charge coupled devices, CCD cameras. Both are not very, they are very sensitive towards the light. But nowadays the camera which are using the CMOS technology, they are very less sensitive to the light. Nowadays you can shoot in normal daylight, in cool light, even in candle you can shoot good camera with the opening of the aperture. They are very sensitive, and you will not get any kind of cast in that. Okay, you will get good skin tone, but in the beginning with the analog you cannot. If lighting is not proper, you cannot get the good skin quality or good. You definitely get the green cast in the video. So these are the sometimes challenges. But a people who knows the lighting concept, his video, even though nowadays he has a clear concept of how to shoot, from which angle we have to shoot. Okay. But if people don't know the lighting concept, they will getting good quality of picture. Okay, fine. But in some critical cases, they will fail.
Yeah, you can see that nowadays in many Zoom calls, people who are, say, they are professional video people, you will see that their whole face is in shadow. You can't make out any detail of the face. पीछे बहुत सारा light है.
हाँ, पीछे light है. Because they don't know the depth of field. Okay. One many times they people use flood light in that period also. That light makes a you can call a term makhan lighting. So there is no shadow, nothing. But in that you will not feel the depth of the field. Okay, you plain like this thing. See the importance of the backlight. If you are not having a good backlight, you will not get the depth. You will not get the separation. Okay, it's not different with the a 2D picture or 3D image. Okay, so where should fall the backlight? On the shoulders, on the back of the head. It's important. Lighting is more important nowadays also in few cases when you are doing chroma work. Nowadays nobody knows chroma. They are doing green screen, correct, you know, but chroma can do in any type of color. Green is more prevalent because in the green is the richest one, so noise is minimum in that. Okay, and that is the one reason. In blue you will get more noise, in red furthermore. In sepia we have three colors of cyclorama curtains in the studios. One is black, one is green, and one is sepia. So you can, if you want to do the chroma, you can do that. Okay. So there are small things. Nowadays people are doing by practice but don't know the reason behind it. And if you know the depth why you are doing this is important, then you will not fail.
So, if I, it's a very interesting point you've brought, is you, technology is one thing, but also the reason of the basis behind the practice.
Yes.
That is what you're telling us about, what is the practice, why the need for three-point lighting,
why
the practice for it. That is independent of technology.
Independent of technology. Mm. And why is very important in every aspect of your life.
Mm.
Otherwise, you will not learn. You will not learn. Okay.
So then it actually brings me to another point. Going back, when you move from tube cameras to CCD cameras, suddenly some element of complexity with camera works reduced, but then a different kind of problem started.
Yes.
How was that? How did you, because again, it would not always be mentioned in the manual.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it also, given the kind of conditions here where students are using the cameras and all, their rough handling is actually a very good training ground for technicians, because they have to learn on the job how to keep things working.
Fine.
So when you're moving from tube to CCD, what became easy and what became difficult?
Okay, easy for the camera person, the weight of the camera reduced, physical size reduced, and easy to operate. Not for more concerned towards the light, okay? Okay, light is little 80 or 90%. Okay, it's okay, fine, okay. But there are limitations, okay. I will quote one more thing related with this. The drawback of the CCDs is you cannot shoot continuous lighting source. Suppose there is a fire and you want to shoot for long, you can't. That will damage the CCDs, okay? Because that is a charge coupled device, okay? I can give you an analogy. In your laptops, in your nowadays smart TVs, you see after some time it's in ideal position, some screenshot is coming, moving after some time. Why it is? Because it will protect the burning of the screen, permanent burns on the screen that cannot be eliminated by any sort.
You mean the screen saver comes?
Screen savers, yeah. So, why screen savers came? That is the reason for this thing, okay. But screen saver cannot use in the cameras.
Correct.
Okay. So, we teach the student, don't put your camera directly toward the fire source or for long durations. But with tube cameras, nothing. The quality which you get in the tube camera, you cannot get that quality with CCDs, with CMOS.
Why?
Why? I will give another example. Nowadays, you can have amplifiers, digital amplifiers, okay, and gadgets. You will get loudness easily, but the separation of frequencies and richness in the audio you will not, okay. But in the analog, there is a tube amplifiers in the beginning. If you don't know, glass tubes. Electrode, diode, there is a big tube, 6-inch tube, 4-inch tubes, there is a filament on that, okay. So, once filament heat up, then electrons remove from the cathode and all, the stability and the quality of the sound is marvelous. Those amplifiers quality you cannot match anywhere, okay. So you will got the quality once it's fully heated. In the beginning, when heating is start, you will not get the optimum results. So you have to wait that time till it's give you the optimum results. Okay, but nowadays you put and you do it. As I told you, this is analog signals. So what in digital is doing? In digital, you made all these signals. In digital, what you are doing? You are making digital signal of the analog signal. So suppose there is an analog waveform. If there is an analog waveform, so it will start from zero, continuous, go to the maximum, then reduce to the zero, then go to the maximum in the negative, then reduce again.
ले लीजिए फोन, नो प्रॉब्लम, पॉज कर देना।
हाँ, दैट्स